Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's almost 11:30 and our guest for the second half hour is Maulana Ahmed Chauhan. Welcome Maulana on the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hi Maulana.
Very well, alhamdulillah, shukr Maulana. How are you keeping?
Alhamdulillah, Allah shukr, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, we had good rain last night in Ermelo and that is after a long time. I believe it's raining well in KZN as well.
Gee, alhamdulillah, it's coming down in Durban. Make lots of dua that Allah Ta'ala give us tayyiban nafi'a, inshallah, and Allah alleviate all the difficulties.
Alhamdulillah, Allah shukr. Allah Ta'ala take us through this challenging time, and while we seeing the apparent rain, those people who are in need of it the most, the farmers, and filling the dams and the rest of it, they say there's still a long way to go.
Jee, ma. Inshallah, Allah make it easy for one and all.
Inshallah, Al-Aziz. Maulana, we continue with our program, Inshallah, Al-Aziz, and recap of what we did last week.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusallim ala rasulil kareem amma ba'd. Honorable and respected listeners of Radio Islam International, alhamdulillah, we discussed and we completed the discussion of the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam insofar as utilizing a cushion was concerned, and that actually then terminated the discussion on the sleeping habits of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We discussed various aspects of it, beginning right from before going to sleep, how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would use the surma, how he would prepare for sleep, preparation of the water for wudu when he gets up, making wudu, the du'as, the dhikr that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make, the ayats of the Quran, the manner in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sleep, the du'as that he would recite, and then we terminated with the dreams of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and together with that we spoke about the cushion of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the pillow. Today, inshallah, we begin another discussion, and that is the sublime conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insofar as our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak beard is concerned. Now, obviously, we need to be a little bit cautious when we speak about these sunan and these aspects of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, because in the world that we live, generally it doesn't go very well. And unfortunately, sometimes because we become very, very sympathetic, apologetic to the world around us, we begin to make excuses with regards to the Mubarak beard of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And obviously, we as ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have been compelled to keep the beard. Both our brothers and sisters need to take cognizance of the fact that we cannot escape, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has put a lot of barakah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a lot of blessings in the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like we discussed at the very, very beginning of our discussion on the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi saying that the mafatihul khair, the keys to the barakat, the keys to all good is in the ittiba' of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa iqtida'ihi, and following Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ittiba' means to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, exactly how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had done things, and secondly is iqtida, like how we would follow the imam in the salat. We would, when he goes into ruku, we'll also go into ruku. When he goes into sajda, we will also go into sajda. And that is how closely Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has commanded us to follow the Mubarak tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is quite important that if we are unable to abide, then we do not justify our weaknesses, but rather we acknowledge that we have stemmed away, deviated from the sunnah, and we must make dua to Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Allah grant us the hidayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the spiritual guidance to follow Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us a spiritual strength to follow the sunnah of our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So with this in mind, we will discuss the Mubarak beer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the various aspects that are related to it. Sayyidina Jabir ibn Samura radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beard was dense and thick. Now, when we look at Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu's narration, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a long beard, as well as the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was long. And we discussed the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the chapter when we spoke about the Mubarak features of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu's beard was also full and dense. This has been mentioned in the commentary of Ihya. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu's beard was so dense that he used to conceal his upper chest. Then we will find Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He speaks about the color of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak beard. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak beard was black. Of course, towards the end of the noble life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a few strands of white hair made its appearance on the noble hair and also on the beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also cared for his beard, and we'll discuss one or two aspects with regards to that. Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to apply oil excessively to his head, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam combed his beard. Now Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to arrange his Mubarak beard with a comb, and also Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would oil the beard and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would comb it. Now I think one or two important aspects here is that when we keep this sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we must keep the sunnah the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had kept his beard, that in that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken care of it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would oil it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would comb it, to the extent that we find that our mother Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked into the mirror when he would comb his Mubarak beard. So in other words, he took care in combing his beard, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very meticulous about it. Then the sunnah method of combing, we find one hadith which is very general. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would love commencing with the right side when performing wudu and when combing his Mubarak hair. So from here we will find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commenced with the right limb or the right side in all good actions, and on the contrary, unpleasant actions should be performed with the left side first, or preference should be given to the left side. So it would apply that when a person goes to relieve oneself, or one cleanses one's nose during the wudu, then one would begin with the left side first, like going into the toilet, then one will go with the left leg, and when one cleanses one's nostrils, one should do with the left hand. So similarly, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the comb and combing his beard, or rather his hair, on the right hand side first, so it can be concluded then that it will be best for a person when they are combing the beard to begin from the right side. Then Hazrat Atta ibn Yasar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that a person with disheveled hair and unkept beard walked into Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated to him to arrange his hair. He returned a few moments later with neat and tidy hair. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Is it not better to have one's hair neat and well arranged instead of walking around with disheveled hair like that of the shaitan? So some people consider it an act of piety to remain in a negligent condition. They neglect themselves, they neglect their bodies, they neglect the limbs of their bodies, they neglect keeping themselves neat. That is not a sign of piety, because there is no doubt in the fact that the most pious being and the most pious human was our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and hence we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself had kept his hair, he had kept his beard, so hence this should be an important and integral aspect of looking after one's beard. Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would apply water to his beard and arrange it neatly on a daily basis. Now, here again we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very particular about keeping his beard. Sahal ibn Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would arrange his beard by applying water to it. So we find numerous ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to how the beard should be kept. Then again you will find, on the other hand, Sayyidina Salma ibn Aqwa radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to apply musk. A musk is a perfume. And he used to apply this ether to his Mubarak beard and to his Mubarak head also. And our mother Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that she used to apply the best possible ether to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she would see the shine of the ether on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak beard and head. So we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was again very meticulous insofar as keeping his beard is concerned. So, and we also find that those that would utilize ether, one sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be to apply the ether on the beard itself also. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to apply ether to his Mubarak beard, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would initially rub it onto his palms and then take the palms and then pass it over the Mubarak beard. So it is a sunnah to apply ether on one's beard. Now, we will also see the other ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to dyeing one's beard. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would dye his Mubarak beard with saffron or with what was called in those days the leaves of a waras tree. And using the saffron for the beard is permissible, and it is actually used, or it was used in those days more for the fragrance than the color in itself. Now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would hold his beard, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sometimes, at the time of grief, hold on to his beard. And we find the hadith of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was overcome with some kind of grief or sorrow, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will clutch his beard. So that was also a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was noticed by the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. One aspect of the beard is what is termed in modern terminology as the baby beard. And the baby beard is that part of the beard that is immediately below the lip. So Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that a few strands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's baby beard were white. So this hadith informs us that it is a sunnah to grow the baby beard. And again, that is the one that is just below the lower lip and above the shin, or above the chin of a person. When we see the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insofar as the beard is concerned, what would be the extremes of how long and how short the beard would be? We will find that Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu once saw a person who had allowed his beard to grow beyond the natural limits. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu instructed another person to cut that portion of the beard of the person whose beard was long to the length of a fist. After it was trimmed, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Why does one of you allow his beard to grow so long that it makes him look like some wild animal?" So on the one hand, we now have an idea that when the beard is grown, then it should not be trimmed before it reaches the length of one fist, and after it reaches the length of one fist, and maybe a little bit more as a precaution, then a person should trim the excess off so that we will be within the confines of the Sharia and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, it has been authentically narrated that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu trimmed that portion of the beard which exceeded the first length. Hence, we find that this is valid and this is the etiquette and the adab of keeping the beard so that it will resemble that of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and that of the Sahaba ikiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Amr ibn Shu'aib rahmatullah alayhi narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to shorten the length and width of his Mubarak beard, and again this will mean that the minimum valid length of the beard will be one fist, and it is determined from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the actions of the Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So one should not exceed the limits insofar as growing it longer, and one should not shorten the beard shorter than one fist. Now when we find that we found that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself had the Mubarak beard, and then we find the Sahaba ikiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum were very meticulous with regards to the beard, then we can understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had on the one hand emphasized the keeping of the beard, and on the other hand we'll find the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum abided by it. But again, we should not keep it so long that it becomes too so long that one looks unbecoming, and on the other hand we should not keep it so short that it does not resemble at all the Mubarak beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Bukhari Sharif we find that on the occasions of Hajj and Umrah, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to grasp his beard in his fist, and then he would trim all three sides which was beyond the fist. So on the bottom of the beard, the right hand side and the left hand side, all of it should be consistently one fist in length. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu similarly used to take his beard in his fist, and he would trim the hair that exceeded the length of the fist. Now Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu is amongst those Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum who have narrated the ahadith regarding the compulsion of lengthening the beard. So his action determines the minimum length of one's beard. And it is also reported by Hazrat Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhum that he used to trim his beard on the occasion of Hajj and Umrah. But again, the trimming will be any hair that he grows beyond the fist. Like we will find Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu trimmed his beard when he grew beyond a fist length. Qasim rahmatullah alayhi also used to trim his mustache and beard after having shaved his head on the occasions of Hajj. So many a sahabi would be doing that, and had done that. Many of the tabi'een had also followed. So I think more than going into any jurisprudence, masla or injunction at this time, one should understand and realize that this is what our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had done, and this is how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had continuously practiced upon it in his lifetime. Sahaba ikiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum had practiced upon it in their lives, and we find that the tabi'een and throughout the generations we found that this was a very, very important symbol of a mu'min and a believer. It was also a very, very noble trait of a believer to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insofar as the beard is concerned. Now, when we look at all the life of a human being, and when we leave this world and we go into our qabr, then this is one sunnah that a person will take into his qabr. And obviously, it is very, very important for us to note that at least if we go with this sunnah of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our qabrs, then perhaps we have some hope that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will deal with us with a great deal of rahmah and mercy, because we have made our faces like the faces of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we go on to the other aspects with regards to the beard, and that is plucking the white strands. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma narrates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not pluck white hair, as it is the nur of a believer. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that it will be a source of nur on the day of resurrection. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it is nur, maybe we do not appreciate the nur in this world, but that nur undoubtedly will be appreciated on the day of Qiyamah. Similarly, we find that Hazrat Amr ibn Shu'ayb rahmatullah alayhi narrates that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not remove white hair, as it is a source of nur for a believer. If a Muslim's hair turns white, one good deed is recorded for him, one sin is forgiven, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise the status of that individual. So here again we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown us virtue, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown us that even a thing that naturally happens to a human being and a person does not pluck it off, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the sins of that person, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records good deeds for him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the status of that individual. Sayyid ibn Musayyib rahmatullah alayhi narrates that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was the first person whose hair began turning white. So he inquired from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about it. I mean, there was nobody else that he saw whose hair had turned white, and he was the first hair that had turned white. So he probably was concerned about it. So he made dua to Allah, and he inquired from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was informed that this was a sign of nobility. Thereafter, he supplicated and he made dua to Allah, oh Allah, increase me in nobility. In other words, increase me in this white hair that you have given me. So hence the ulama have written that to pluck off the white hair, now not to dye it, but to pluck it off from one's head or beard, has been, which is in actual fact a source of nur for a Muslim. So hence, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to regard it as an act of being makruh to do so. Some of the makruh actions relating to the beard, we find that to use black dye, to dye the beard black, if a person is not in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a struggle, then obviously that person, for him to dye the beard, would be makruh to dye black. To unnecessarily dye the beard, if it is done to emulate the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will be meritorious and permissible. Then obviously, now we may read that it is a great source of nur and a great source of blessings and reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have white hair. So a person may feel that now we should whiten our beard. Then obviously that would also become makruh. That will not be regarded as nobility. It will not be regarded as a source of reward for the individual. To shave the beard in its initial stages so that it grows full and thick is also not recommended in Islam, and it is not permissible, because the beard should be natural and it should grow naturally. Then again, we discussed already to pluck the white strands of the hair. To cut the beard when it has not reached the full fist length is also not permissible, and to abstain from combing the beard will be an act that is makruh. Now, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that ten things are part of fitrat. That is the natural way and the natural practice of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam. And in these 10 we will find that trimming the mustache and lengthening the beard has been included in the sunan of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam. La ta'khudh bi lishyati wa la bi ra'si. When Hazrat Harun alayhi salatu was salam held the beard, when Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu was salam, held the beard of Hazrat Harun alayhi salatu was salam, then he said to him that don't hold me by my beard. So that shows even in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, they had beards, and this has been the tariqa and the noble traits of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam. So in this hadith, the word fitrat actually refers to the habits of the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam. It refers to the natural way of a mu'min and a believer. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oppose the disbelievers, lengthen the beard, and finally trim the mustache. So all the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam kept beard, and none of the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam shaved it, nor did they keep the fine stubbles on their faces. Insofar as the modern world is concerned, they call it designer beards. Those are not the sunnah of the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam. Furthermore, we will find that all the imams, the scholars and the jurists of Islam are unanimous that growing the beard is a wajib act insofar as the fiqh is concerned, the shariat is concerned. Many of us confuse ourselves with this, that we say it is established from the hadith, so it is a sunnah. So it is established from the hadith, will mean it is established from the sunnah, but insofar as the emphasis of the shariat goes, it is in the category of being wajib, in other words, the category of being, category of being the sunnah, of wajib and compulsion, insofar as the importance of it is in the fiqh of Islam. Now on the one hand, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala lets something grow naturally. It is the natural system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that men should have beards. And now when a person begins to shave it, he is disturbing the natural order that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted. And when we look at the Quran Kareem, then we will find that one of the vows that shaitan had taken was to mislead man by changing the natural way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity to keep the beard, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunities to follow the tariqah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then obviously we should try, and as far as possible as men, to keep the beards. As our sisters, to encourage our spouses, our parents also, and our children, our siblings, whoever the males are in our family, try to encourage them with muhabbat, with love, that this is the sunnah of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and make a lot of dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grants us all the ability and the strength to fulfill this absolutely important aspect of our deen. Now many of us sometimes may argue that because of difficulties in traveling, because of the security systems of the world, it is very difficult for a person to keep a beard. Undoubtedly, we should have our trust and our tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that Allah will give us the barakah in keeping our beards. If we have to curtail our travels for any reason, then we are doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we need to be rest assured that we will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we are trying to fulfill and keep the commandments of Allah ta'ala in mind, and of course fulfilling the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability and the strength to fulfill all the sunnah of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala Nabi al-Kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.